when you shoot, it makes a sort of like twang sound. Sort of like.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Hi, I'm Joey, and I'm an archer.
What do we have here? Can you just describe the different elements of archery?
Arrows are basically the things that the bow launches, and there's the quiver which holds the arrows, and then there's a glove which protects your fingers from the string, and there's also the bow over there. It launches the arrows.
I'm not really into hunting with it, though. I just do target shooting.
This, I believe, is stainless steel. This is cedar and dyed turkey feathers for that.
So, Eva, you had a question about being right or left eye dominant or something like that. You had to figure out which one for a beginner archer. How would you?
I believe it's you have to concentrate on something far away and make a triangle around it with your hands.
Okay.
And then you have to bring your hand slowly towards your eyes with both eyes open, and then the one that the triangle's centered on is your dominant eye.
Okay. Okay. I'll try. How far does it have to be?
Watch me do it, okay? I'll show you. You got a pile of stuff back there?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You're going to focus on that and put it in the center of a little triangle, just about that big. Okay. And then slowly bring your hands back to your face and keep that object in the triangle, in the center. And when your hands are right in front of your face...
Both of them see it, though.
They'll both see it, but when you get your hands back to right close to your face, you'll find that probably just one eye... is looking through.
Sometimes can both eyes skip?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. It can if you have both eyes dominant, which is pretty rare, but some people do have that.
Okay. If you're right eye dominant and you're doing archery, you probably do better at it if you shoot right-handed.
Okay. Shooting right-handed means that the arm that's pulling the string back is your right hand.
Several years ago, my mom took me to a medieval event, and I saw a whole bunch of people doing archery. It looked like fun, so I tried it.
So how often do you do archery?
There's once a week, every Sunday at practices, and then there's also every month or a couple months, there's an event that has archery, and they sometimes have tournaments there and stuff.
How do you take care of a bow?
For the bow, it's every time after you've shot, you have to take the string off and also keep it clean, and before you shoot, you're supposed to wax the string. And for the arrows, it's basically just keeping them clean. It's this kind of special wax.
It's sort of like rosin in a violin bow.
And like the quiver and that, they're just made from leather that we buy downtown. And the arm guards were handmade by us.
Do you have any archery heroes?
Robin Hood.
Legolas. Lord of the Rings.
Legolas.
Yeah. We're going to play Lord of the Rings here, actually.
What do you like about Robin Hood?
Well, just the whole idea of, you know, standing up for what's right and standing up for what you believe in.
This is a different kind. It doesn't have...
Yeah.
Because it has a different top. Did you make this yourself?
No. This was an arrow that was found here last practice, which I'm going to return to the owner when I see him today. And that's why it looks different from my arrows. Because we all have our own arrows with different colors, different decorations on them to make them sort of special for us. These bows are not, medieval bows. These are... modern recurve bows without a lot of gizmos and gadgets that you can have on a bow to make it easier to shoot. These are just very simply a bow with a string on it, and so it's up to you to use your own muscle power to pull it back and aim it, your own instinct to aim it.
How about the skills that you need?
You need to be able to, if you don't start out with strong shoulder and back muscles, you have to be able to develop them. And you have to have good judgment, because aiming down the arrow, it's not aiming straight, because the arrow always appears to go up. And also you need to know safety precautions, that kind of stuff. Don't shoot when someone's out there collecting their arrows. And there's also, you need to know what all kinds of commands mean, like hold when they tell you to stop and that kind of stuff.
How do you shoot?
Put one foot on either side of the line, and then you hold your arm out with your elbow bent slightly, just so that it's not locked though, and pull the string back to the corner of your lip underneath the eye that you're aiming with.
Every time I pull back my bow, I have to lift the weight of 43 pounds, which is about maybe what this little girl weighs.
There's a lot of instinct involved in how you aim. For instance, I can aim very carefully and get a bad shot, and I can also shoot very quickly with hardly spending any attention to the actual aiming, just doing it instinctively and get a very good shot. So there's technique and then there's instinct, and they're both important parts of it. And you can't really teach someone the instinct part. It just comes with experience.
Everything goes first. She's the best.
You shoot left, right?
Yeah, so you will have your left foot over the line.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, now once you've done that, now I'm going to do it this way because this is how I shoot, and you're going to just watch me and remember that you do it the other way.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're standing here, you've got the line. Let's pretend this is the line. You've got one foot on each side, and there's a target that a ways. You picture the whole front of your body being... Picture the whole front of your body being straight. Your feet pointing straight ahead, and your body being sort of on a flat plane. And that plane, if you follow the direction of it, and follow your feet, the direction of the two ends of your feet, follow the line, point that line at the target. So that's how you know that you're facing the right way. Now, here's a really important rule, and it may seem really obvious, but the pointy end goes that way.
Yeah.
Okay?
I know that.
But that's important, because...
First, I want to see if I can lift the string.
No, not yet. Because there's another thing I have to tell you about the bow. You never, ever draw back a bow and let it go without an arrow in it, because that's called dry firing, and it's very bad for the bow and dangerous. Because remember what I was telling you about how much pressure there is in a bow? Mm-hmm. This bow has 43 pounds of pressure. Letting that pressure loose with no direction for the force to go in is a dangerous thing, so don't do that. When you let it go and there's an arrow in it, it pushes the arrow that way. Okay. But when there's no arrow, it has no direction for that force to go in. It's not safe. Not good for the bow. Now, what I usually do is I'm in position. I'm in the correct position. I'm facing the right way. I've got my, hand on the handle. And what I'll usually do is turn the bow this way and just rest it on my hip a little so that it's supported while I put my arrow on. And when I'm putting the arrow on, I'm not going to put it all the way on right now because I'm not standing on the line. And you should never knock an arrow when you're not in position, right? But I'm going to just show you without putting it on. There's three different fletches. That's what these are called. And these fletches that are the same are the hen fletches. And the fletch that's different is called the cock fletch. And the hen fletches always face the bow. And this one that's different always faces up. What you do is you have the hen fletches facing down. And this little thing here, it's called a knock. And this little, on the other bow, it'll be a little brass ring. That's the knocking point. And the knock goes on just below the knocking point. Mm-hmm. When you've got it knocked, okay, I'm gonna put the arrow down and show you. When you've got it knocked, you hold one finger above the knocking point and two fingers below it. And the arrow is gonna be right in between those first two fingers, okay? You don't squeeze the arrow, you don't pinch it, you don't have to hold it in place. It will stay in place by itself.
Yeah, with my one you do.
With this one you don't. You don't have to hold the arrow, you don't pinch it, and you just have the very tips of your fingers on the string. Don't grip the string like this. Okay, just the very tips. And then you can straighten your arm with it not quite straight. Your elbow is not locked. It's just slightly bent away from the bow. Can you kind of turn it this way? Yeah. Now your wrist is going to have to go this way, but your elbow is going to have to go this way, which is a little bit awkward.
But there's two reasons for that. One is that it puts a little bit of pressure on your elbow joint if it's locked when you're letting go. So you want to give it a little bit of sort of spring action there, so to protect your elbow joint. Also, the string could hit your arm and hurt your arm, which is why I'm wearing an arm guard, you know.
I better wear an arm guard.
Yeah, you should get one too. But we'll take care of that in a few minutes. So you move your arm out of the way of the string. And as long as I've been doing archery, I have never been able to figure out how to keep my arm out of the way of the string all the time. Most of the time, yeah, but when I start to get tired, I start hitting my arm. So that's why I still wear one of these things. And some people say, when you're a good archer, you don't hit your arm anymore, but that's not true. In fact, girls and ladies have a lot more hard time figuring out how to keep their arm out of the way because your arm is different than a man's arm. So.
How?
It's just different. I don't know why. It doesn't really make sense to me. So you've got your arm extended. You got your fingers in the right position. Your body's straight. Check to make sure everything's right. Now, you can pull back. Remember what I said about not dry firing? I'm not going to, but I am going to pull it back. Force of all that weight that's going to push the arrow that way takes care of itself. You don't have to pull back on it or anything. Okay, you can cross the line and you can go get your arrows. And when you cross the line, don't run. Never run out there, just walk, because there's going to be arrows on the ground, arrows sticking out of targets. And you can get hurt if you run and fall on something, or you can break. And you have to be careful the way you pull arrows. So the hen feathers are down, and you just clip that on right below that metal ring. Now put this finger above, these two below, just the fingertips, and take your thumb off. Take your thumb off. Your thumb doesn't do anything. Don't pinch it. Just the fingertips. You've got a grip on it. Don't grip it. Just the fingertips hold it. Okay. Now you got your arm in the right position. Turn your body. Make sure your body's in the right position. Look where you're shooting. You always have to look where you're shooting, right? That's important. Now, pull it back. Good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Mama. Excellent.
So, next arrow.
You nearly hit the target.
It takes a lot of coordination at first to learn even how to knock the arrows properly.
Pull it back, pull it back.
All right. Woo!
Okay, now put the bow down. Put this arm a little bit straighter. Okay. Now you're gripping it too much. Remember what position your fingers are supposed to be in. Just like that. Okay, now remember, point it at the target, and pull it back, and let it go. Okay, straighten this arm out.
Aim high.
Yeah, right, nice shot.
Now put the bow down, and step back away from the line.
You're supposed to put it on the rack.
Roll call! Come along now, you'll be late for parade. Rip, 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 car.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
Discipline
on CFMU.
My SDA name is Isabella Venicelli. My mundane name, or my normal name, is Leanne White. I'm the Seneschal for the Barony of Ben Dunforth, which is the local Hamilton group of the SCA. The SCA is the Society for Creative Anachronism. It's a medieval recreation group that spans the eras from the Roman Empire to 1600, approximately. So there's people within the group who do all sorts of recreations of Anglo-Saxon, Viking, Norse, Italian Renaissance garb and arts and crafts, archery and fighting styles. You don't have to become a member. The only people who have to become a member in Canada, because of our laws, or the Kingdom of Eldermere, which is Ontario specifically, are people who hold official officer positions within any of their groups or the kingdom. Some kingdoms, in order to fight or do any martial activity, you also have to have a membership, but Canada tends to have a slightly more inclusive policy.
So it's worldwide then, is it?
Yes, it is. There's the newest kingdom in the SCA is actually the Kingdom of North Shields, which is Northern Ontario area. They've just become their own kingdom, but the newest kingdom before that is the Kingdom of Lokak, which is New Zealand and Australia, and there's a kingdom in Europe as well. The SCA began in California in, I believe, the 1960s, and it was a group of friends who were all interested in medieval society and recreation and thought it would be a lot of fun to hang out and try some of the fighting styles and different martial arts and activities like clothing making or candle making and those kinds of things. And it has kind of spread from there to be this a worldwide organization with probably upwards of 20 or 30,000 people who play. Our kingdom has a lot of children involved. Most of the other kingdoms do as well, but tend to not see them as often at larger events because there is so much going on at them. All of the events have children's activity areas for the kids to learn about medieval society and get involved in some of the easier arts and sciences and crafts. And the Kingdom of Eldermere has actually just joined in minor buffer combat, which is basically taking kind of nerf weapons and learning the fighting styles of medieval society. So any children from the ages of 6 up can now be involved in this, and they have to fight in their age groups, and it's very interesting for them to be able to do. We have archery practices out in Greenville once a week, every Sunday whenever our archery marshal is available. Our fight practices in the summertime are at the aviary in Westdale. That's an outdoor practice, so they tend to be cancelled if the weather's bad, but that's every Monday night from 6 o'clock until it gets too dark to fight. And the guys usually keep pushing the, wait, I can still see, it's okay. There's a lot of research that's been done out there. You can find all sorts of information on different garb making or clothing making on the web. The SCA has literally probably hundreds of websites of various types on how to make leather boots and clothing and different arts and sciences. There's guilds in the SCA who do brewing. There's a lot of research into food and culinary activities. And we have an arts and science night in Hamilton every Thursday, or every other Thursday, when the space rotates, basically, so that one person isn't always having 20 people in their home. But you can go out to those and discuss all sorts of things, from how to create a persona in the SCA to clothing or banner making, heraldry, all sorts of stuff. There's pretty much something for everyone to do. If you're not interested in fighting and you're very interested in clothing making, you can do that. You can do the brewing or the cooking, or we have bards. Eldermere is really well known for its bards, so we have a lot of poets and singers and harpists in the Ontario group as well. There's the archery, heavy weapons, there's fencing. There's the minor tournaments now. There's people who, in the local group even, who have decided that they want to do something else and started it. There's groups in the States have hound coursing, and they use standard greyhounds, but one of the women in the Hamilton group, Heather, or her SCA name is Alana, has started hound coursing in this kingdom. with the help of a few other interested people. So even if you can't find specifically what you're interested in, you can do the research and start something new. The international website is www.sca.org. Any site for any group can be found off of the international site.
Something that is fun even with work. Every time you pull back a child's bowstring, you're pulling 20 pounds. And some bows are like 34 pounds if you pull them back. That's a grown-up's bow. But the guy with the crossbow, all he was pulling back was 8 pounds. What I like is that it sort of strengthens your muscles, but the problem is I'm right-eyed and I'm left-handed, and I want to strengthen my left hand because it doesn't get much strengthening when I'm playing the piano, and I can't because I'm right-eyed. It's lots of fun to do. It's something wonderful, different. And next time I go there, I'm going to wear my Eowyn costume. It's a sparkly dress. It's like really soft material. It has golden sparkles on this blue. It's like just these golden little shimmering lights. Sort of when the light shines on it, and then there's all this gold on it, but it's also just very, very like, pale gold and like, not very easy to see. And then there's a grey cloak, well, silver sort of. And then you dress up there. But my costume would always be the best because it's so pretty. I like pulling back that bow and then letting go, and it's fun to try and hit the target. We did this tournament that you had to get points, and I only got 2 in the whole tournament.
Do you have a name for your bow and arrow?
Well, if I get one, I think I might name it. I would name it a really pretty name, maybe like Eowyn. Well, it's just this beautiful art that people used to need in the olden days sometimes, and sometimes they didn't need it and they just used it for sport. But I wouldn't shoot animals for fun, I just shoot targets.
Hello, my name is Madeline and I'm gonna talk about archery. On Sunday, I pulled 20 pounds or something with 3 fingers. And Eva, my sister, got to shoot a crossbow as well as a bow and arrow. And they had this tournament thingy, and Eva, she went in it. Well, even though it was her first time to start actually learning how to shoot an arrow, so it was my first time. We went with Grandpa and Daddy and Mummy and Kelly. We had lots of fun. Well, when you shoot, it makes a sort of like twang sound. Sort of like whoosh, and it hits the target, it makes a sort of banging noise. Put it in sideways, so you hold the bow sideways, and then you put the arrow, then you notch it, then you put it the rest, mm-hmm. And then pick it up, pull that string, have this little arm, this mm-hmm. arm, well, have your left arm straight, not totally straight, but your elbow of your left arm sort of bent, and your right hand arm pulling back the string. You uh-huh. let go, and then the arrow hits the target, or the grass. Now you don't just pull it upward, you pull it sideways out. But when you have it in the target, you put one hand on the target and stand sideways beside the target and then pull out your arrow. In a crossbow, it's not really you that's aiming, it's sort of the crossbow that's aiming.
So this guy had a crossbow, and he let Eva try it. But this is why he got tons of points, because he had a crossbow. Everyone else had a bow and arrows. But there's one thing I have to tell you about. If you just, like, have no arrow on it, and it's not, and there's no arrow notched on the string, and you pull it back to show someone how far to pull back, and then let go, you don't let go. You have to pull out, then pull back. But when you actually have an arrow on the string, then you pull back and let go. The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L 8S1CO.